Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you're listening to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast, Episode 15. Ever been working on a project and you get an idea for another project? Or maybe even several other ideas for future projects pop up, and because you're in the middle of a project at the time, the potential future ideas are filed away in the recesses of your brain somewhere. Or if you have the forethought, maybe you write them down somewhere. You jot down the idea really fast, either in a sketchbook or on an online app or on your phone or something. In any case, you know, you absolutely know you will eventually get around to developing those ideas sometime in the future. But the original project you were working on takes longer than you expected. And you don't want to rush it anyways, since you've come to a point in your artistic development where you've learned that diligence and care, rather than just knocking out one thing after another for the sake of accomplishment, is actually a way better way to produce things that have lasting impact. Meanwhile, you're still occasionally and randomly getting new ideas. Ideas keep coming to you, and you continue to stock them away. I mean, you'll get to them someday. I mean, you know you will. And let's say that you do actually look back at an old entry where you wrote down an idea in a sketchbook somewhere. It's just a few words, just a little shorthand that you knew would jog your memory in the future. It was a great idea, of course. You're gonna remember it. You just had to give yourself a little prompt. A little prompt to let you remember. But here's the thing. You don't remember. You read the prompt. You read the little note that you jotted in your sketchbook, and it says something vague like, waffle on floor. And you only have a really vague sense of what that even means. The idea has grown cold, and no matter how hard you try, that original, awesome, fully formed idea that originally came to you is now only the shadow of what it once was. And you wonder to yourself, is this really even an idea worth pursuing? Sure, there's that slight stab of remorse, but really, you have so many ideas. You'll just have to let this one go. It's been too long. Waffle on floor gives you nothing. You can't remember what you meant, why it was so good at the time. And you think to yourself, if you had really wanted to develop it, you should have just done so when it was fresh, when it was exciting, when it was new. Now it's gone. This not taking action on an idea, but holding on to it until it eventually just grows cold and withers, this is called idea debt. Idea debt is a term coined by Kazu Kibuishi. He's the creator of graphic novels Amulet and Flight and the webcomic Copper. He's an all-around really creative guy. He explained idea debt on an episode 7 actually, of Jessica Abel's really delightful podcast, Out on the Wire. Here's how Kazu explained it on the podcast, and I'm quoting him here. You have this dream, this idea of this awesome thing. For years you think, oh, I'm going to do this epic adventure, and it's going to be so great. And the truth is, no matter what you do, it will never be as great as it is in your mind. So you're really setting yourself up for failure in some ways. He goes on to talk about snowboarding. At the time, he was really into snowboarding. I guess, to tell the truth, he probably still is. I don't know. But in this podcast, he was explaining using a metaphor about snowboarding. He would be at the top of a mountain, and he would see a bunch of young snowboarders waiting at the top of a jump. And they weren't waiting for their turns, but really, they're just stalling, afraid to go on to hit the jump. But as they stay there and procrastinate, not taking action, they don't realize that over time they're really getting colder. I mean, physically colder. And the impending jump just builds up in their minds. The idea debt of needing to take the jump and land it and be impressive just gets greater and greater. The expectations get heavier and heavier. So by the time they actually do it, they probably are not going to fulfill that dream. And the takeaway is that you just gotta take the jump or pass. There, in the moment, right then, you just have to do it or you have to move to the next jump. I think this concept of idea debt is something that strikes a lot of creative people, not just playwrights, but people that do artistic kind of pastimes in their lives. And I started to ask myself when I was thinking about this concept, idea debt, what accounts for it? Well, one thing that I think accounts for it a lot is perfectionism. Holding that idea in our heads lets us build up expectations. And the expectations can build up to a point when even the thought of starting a new project based on that idea, it becomes daunting and overwhelming. And when something is overwhelming, what do? Well, we wait. We don't act. We procrastinate. And the longer we hang on to the idea, the colder it becomes. We lose that excitement that we originally had, that jolt of, oh, this is going to be awesome. That starts to fade the further from the perfection of the initial concept we get. And as it fades, and as we move further and further away from it, we lose the impetus to start even more. And the idea just stays stuck on the back burner in our minds. Ideas are easy to churn out, actual ideas, especially compared to actually executing those ideas. The ideas, good ones as well as the throwaway ones, they come rather frequently to an already creative mind, which I think has a degree of irony. You see, creativity is a kind of muscle, I think. It's a habit. It's a way of living. Our minds get attuned to producing novelty and variation, macro structure and minute details. The more creative a person is, the more ideas seem to form and thus stack up. People that don't swim in ideas all the time don't have to worry about ideas coming to them unsolicited. But an active mind stays active. Unfortunately, the same is true. An inactive mind seems to stay inactive. So if you're already a creative person, you can count on ideas coming to you all the time. And it's just very difficult to immediately execute on every single idea that shows up. So, how can idea debt be countered? The most direct solution seems to be, in my thinking, is execution. Execution is key. Simply take action as soon as an idea presents itself, fully formed in your mind. And I know the argument to this, because I state this all the time. You might say, yeah, but I'm already working on 3 different projects right now, and they're taking up all of my time and energy. That's okay. Here's the thing. If the idea comes to you and it adds excitement and enthusiasm, you should do it. Add one more project. If the idea genuinely excites you, gets you jazzed up, then you got to go for it. You got to jump in immediately. If you start working on it and it ends up as a dead end and your excitement dissipates, well, then drop it. Stop. Let that idea go. You may even get quite far into a project based on its initial idea, and then the enthusiasm falls away. It is okay to stop doing that project. This sometimes comes as a surprise to people. I think it's that the sunk cost fallacy, you know, I've already put so much time and energy into this, I must see it through to the end. No, you don't have to. There are so many ideas in the world that you not executing one of your ideas, just one of them, it's like a drop in the ocean. Just let that idea go. Otherwise, the idea, it starts to grow cold while you're working on it, and it will probably fizzle out. Either way, the idea defaults back into your mind and just starts to stack up with the other ideas. It again becomes idea debt. So, The takeaway, ignore sunk cost and move on. This is creative work. If the idea proves to be exciting, though, and impactful, and you stay enthusiastic for it, you will have done yourself a service by having immediately executed on the idea. If you're concerned that it will add to an already heavy workload, stop. Don't worry about it. First, and let me state this for the record, I don't know any artist, including myself, that works on only one project at one time. You might have a main project, but at any given time, I have several projects in the pipeline, each in varying degrees and varying states of completion. So it is not unique to have more than one idea working, you know, making its way into the world at any given time. Secondly, and I like to think of handling multiple projects the same way I think about how I approach life in a lot of ways. Let me clarify. My life is loaded with duties and responsibilities, and a lot of it is comprised of ongoing things like trying to eat better and be consistent with keeping a journal and working out and trying to meditate and trying to read more and so on and so on and so on. There's so much to focus on. In fact, I found that to cover all the things, I can really only focus on one or two things for a few months at a time. And I don't drop the other aspects of my life while I'm focusing on one or two of these things, but they are put in a sort of maintenance mode, the other things. See, the balance is spread out over the course of a very long time, maybe a year at a time, not over the course of a day. So every single day, I don't push myself to go down the laundry list of eat better, keep a journal, work out, meditate, read more, dun 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 dun. No. But over the course of maybe a year or 18 months, I will have gotten around to each one of those things. And each one of those things I will have focused on intensely for a shorter amount of time. So for 2 or 3 months, for instance, I will concentrate on, say, eating better. Cognitive power is spent on trying to cut out soft drinks, getting a balance of protein, veggies, and good fats, cutting way back on sugar, drinking way more water, and so on and so forth. And after a few months, I move on to concentrating, say, on reading more, or getting better sleep, or maintaining a really strict workout regime. Everything sort of has a season. And when I move on to a new focus, I don't completely drop, say, eating well, or any of the rest of it. I just don't concentrate with intensity on that particular thing. And the product, the kind of end result of this, is that it keeps me from frustration and burnout. Even though, admittedly, the trade-off is that genuine improvement takes so much longer. Everything moves, everything, if you take it all combined, moves at a kind of a glacial pace. But it all keeps moving. I do the same thing with my creative endeavors. There are always, perpetually, several projects going at any given time. There's several irons in the fire, so to speak, and they're all in various degrees of completion. I continue to work away on idea after idea. As one gets close to completion, I intensely turn my focus to another particular project. Projects get completed, more ideas are moved onto the pipeline, all in due course. Idea after idea comes, execution after execution of each of those ideas comes as well. I find different things to get excited about with each individual endeavor. See, each idea brings its own particular kind of excitement, and to really get excited about it, I have to really get into it. And this is where the intensity of focus comes in. And as long as I don't stress about it, and especially if I don't imagine anything done before its time, then this system seems to work fairly well. In fact, I really only get into trouble when I try to imagine what I'm going to do when the project is finally finished, or how it's going to appear to people, or how I might market it, or what I might do after the end result. But if I stay in the process of it, I don't get frustrated. I don't get into that trouble. If I don't think ahead, so to speak. Anyway, ideas are acted upon or discarded. Idea debt does not build up. Of course, I'm saying this, and it doesn't always work perfectly. I have certainly suffered from having way too many projects, or of holding on to ideas until they, of course, grow old, or I should say grow cold, the older they get, and they either become overwhelming, or I move on with life. I'm not the same person I was when I originally had the idea, so the idea is no longer an idea that I feel like I need to act upon. That reminds me of one more aspect of idea debt. Besides simply carrying around an idea as a burden, as it spoils on the vine, so to speak, eventually all these ideas can build up and lend to an unfortunate side effect. If enough ideas become backlogged in our minds, it can be paralyzing, especially when it comes time to move on to the next thing. If there's one part of idea debt that I actually do struggle with quite a bit, it's this. It's choosing from the backlog of ideas. I'll finish a big project and I'll freeze up when I have to choose what to focus on next, because there's too much. There's too many ideas. Sometimes more time will pass between really intensely focusing from one project to the next because, well, I see the opportunity of working on any one of these ideas that I'm thinking of. And what happens is I seize up. I fail to choose one idea over all of the others. I can't pick anything since I'd rather just be doing everything. But of course, that's not really an option. Sometimes looming deadlines help that choice. Like if I have a deadline to turn something in, that idea by default just gets moved to the front of the lines ahead of all of the others. Sometimes I realize it doesn't matter which project I choose next, and I just pick randomly which one I want to go on to. If it needs to be kind of set back in the future and some other project needs more intensity and gets moved up the pipeline a little bit, so be it. I think a lot of playwrights, and really creative people in general, they deal with this concept of idea debt, and I have a lot of gratitude to Kazu Kibuishi for putting a name to this particular kind of concept. I suppose the takeaway here is that idea debt is a real thing, but it does not have to mess up your process. Being aware of it helps a lot. Not dwelling on what you may do someday and instead focusing on what you are working on right there in the moment will save you a lot of heartache in this department, I think. It certainly worked for me in that way. And to work on the ideas you have in front of you with excitement and with intensity, I think this is important as well. And if an idea grows cold and you lose excitement for it, and it doesn't spark the kind of enthusiasm that it had originally when you first thought of it, let it go. Just let it go. There's always more ideas. That's what I got for this one. Anyway, thanks for listening. Once again, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you've been listening to the Cultivated Playwright podcast. I want to thank you. I've got some big plans for future episodes. I don't know when they're going to come out, but when I get a chance to record them, I will put them on the website and put them on my Facebook page and do a little shout out on Instagram. You can follow me and hook up with all of my social media accounts, YouTube channel, all that kind of stuff, through my website, bradmcintyre.com. Or, of course, you can visit the website for the podcast here, which is cultivatedplaywright.wordpress.com. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a good day.